Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Happy Saturday. Welcome to all of the new subscribers. Thank you so much for giving me some of this time of yours. I know how precious it is. And thank you, of course, to all of the loyal listeners who push play on yet another episode. I love you so much. Thank you. Now, if I sound a little bit breathy, it's because I'm just recording this podcast for you on the back of a dance break. You know how sometimes you just want to shift your energy a little bit? And so that feminine energy, is all about being creative, but all about moving and expressing herself intuitively. So I just thought, before I record my podcast and be creative and helpful and supportive and connect with you, I would get into the zone by having a little dance. So that's what I've done. Anyway, you don't need to hear about that. This is my life. Okay, so where are we? Today, what we're going to do is have a conversation around taking the leap and waiting for the net to appear. Now, this saying, take the leap and the net will appear, is something that one of my former coaches used to share with me. And he would always say, you know what, Brooklyn, you've just got to take the leap and trust that you're going to be safe and trust that everything's going to work out just fine. And do you know what? I never believed him. And, I really, really wanted to be coached by him. But there were some things I just couldn't get on board with because I wasn't confident within myself of taking those leaps sometimes. Back then, what was different for me, though, was I wasn't really embodying and embracing and fully leaning into my beliefs. And my beliefs are things like, I'm always exactly right where I need to be, or I'm always supported, the universe has my back, you know, things like that. I was still very much in, you know, that state where I was trying to control everything. I was very much in that wounded masculine, you know. I would talk myself into things, talk myself out of things, and nothing would get done. I was just like stuck the whole time. So when people say to you, take the leap and then it will appear, I believe it's true, but I also believe that it's a lot easier said than done. Moving from face-to-face sessions with my private practice to online was one of these examples of me taking a leap and just trusting that the net was going to appear. And let me tell you how it happened. Before COVID, so I was doing a lot of traveling, right? Apart from working because I love helping people, in my personal life, one of the, you know, benefits or rewards of working was I got to fulfill dreams I have. You know, like, I'm a bit of a bohemian gypsy. I love traveling. And I was going on, you know, 4, sometimes 5 overseas trips a year because I love learning about spirituality from other cultures and learning about their beliefs and what they do and, you know, all of this sort of stuff. So I was constantly working, not to save money and buy things. I wanted to invest in experiences and learning through that hands-on. You know, I wanted to go to the Amazon. I wanted to, you know, well, I did go to Hawaii and study with people over there and different cultures there. And I went to Scotland and learned about things. I went to Spain and learned about things. It was just, oh. So this was my life and I was loving it. And the more I traveled, the more I started to realize, hey, I wonder if I could you know, create a business that really would allow me to do this. But what I had in my head was I was seeing it on Instagram all the time, these gorgeous women with bikini bodies in their white bikini on their tan skin, sitting, you know, on the Greek island somewhere with a, you know, Greek seaside scape in the background with all the white houses with the blue roofs and those big sunglasses and everything, and having this gorgeous laptop lifestyle. And I just never could relate to that. I just always thought that's never going to happen for me. But then what happened was it was the year before last, I was traveling. It was one of my last holidays before COVID actually. And I was in, at this stage, I was in Hawaii and I had coaching clients. And although I was going away, I said to my clients, look, I'm happy to see you. We can work it out with the time difference or not, up to you. I'm not fussed either way, because I knew I wasn't going to be seeing my counseling clients. So it didn't bother me. I was happy to do it. And they all still wanted to keep their sessions. And what I was able to do was set everything up so that they could just book them in around the time zones, and it was all fine. And guess what? I got to experience this realization that, oh my gosh, this is possible. I was sitting in Waikiki, and I was there with my coffee and, you know, my cantaloupe and my fruit salad and a mimosa and everything. And I was there in my summer dress, and I was there in a balcony, and I was looking at Waikiki Beach, and it was just palm trees everywhere. The sun was gorgeous. And there I was on my laptop talking to women in private practice, helping them with their stuff. And I had this moment where I was just like, oh my gosh, it's happening. It's happening. I'm really doing it. I'm really doing it. And you know what? I saw, I think, maybe four clients on that whole holiday. Not much, but it was enough to show me it's possible. And so then what happened was I came back home and I had, you know, it was crazy. We had staff at the practice, fully booked diaries, all of this sort of stuff. It was just, you know, full on. And I remembered sitting there in a cancellation one day thinking, I wonder if there's a way that I can take the counseling clients online too, and what would that look like? And anyway, so I started to play with the idea of it, but I was too scared to actually do it, because by this stage what had happened was I was in different counseling and psychology groups, and I'd started to ask around, you know, hey, is anybody just working solely online and da-da-da-da? And then I saw people saying they tried it and they closed their practice, it didn't work for them, and then COVID started. And people were saying, oh, I tried to get my clients online and none of them would. They've all put their sessions on hold. I don't know what to do. I'm not making any money now. How am I going to pay the rent? So then I started to see all of these horror stories about how other women in private practice were struggling to make that transition. And so I just assumed that their reality was mine, and therefore I shouldn't even try it. So I hung in there for as long as I could doing face-to-face, just out of, you know, taking on everybody else's experiences as if they were going to be true for me. Anyway, what ended up happening was the COVID stuff. So I'm in Victoria, and so the COVID stuff started to get worse with us, and with lockdowns and harder restrictions and harder restrictions. And at one point we weren't allowed to see our clients face to face, and it happened all really quickly. From memory, it happened like on a Saturday or something. And I remembered saying to my bookkeeper, who doubles as my amazing virtual admin assistant, I love her, Jess is absolutely the best. I remember giving her a call and saying, I'm just going to do it. We're just going to transfer everybody online, and here's how we're going to do it. So I just had this idea of how I wanted to do it. And the way that I came up with my process was, honestly, this is what I mean by you've got to walk your truth, right? What I did was I sat down and, you know, I pulled out a notepad, just a scrappy old notepad, because I was at the office. I didn't have my beautiful journal and a biro. And I just started writing down, you know, if I was running my soul aligned practice in a way that, you know, resonated with my clients and supported them through this process of going from face to face to online, what would that look like? And what would it entail? What would I be doing, saying, thinking, feeling, all of those sorts of things, and thinking about what my clients would be thinking, saying, doing, feeling. From there, I was able to map out this really beautiful process. shared it with Jess, and would you believe, no word of a lie, would you believe we had one of the most successful transitions in the country? It was 94.2 or 94.1% transition from face-to-face to online. And I'm not talking about all high-functioning clients that are corporate execs. And no, I'm talking about, I was working in a low socioeconomic area. So for those of you who are, you know, in Victoria, I was in Frankston, then I was in Hastings, probably two of the harshest areas you can get. But I had this, and I had NDIS clients as well as private clients, you know, all of this sort of stuff. But there are only a handful that weren't able to continue. And that wasn't because I didn't want to, it was for other reasons. But anyway, so we had one of the highest success rates with this transition in the country. And I believe it was all because of two reasons. Number one, I decided to stop dreaming about it and actually take action. And the other thing that I did was I worked from a place of what was aligning with my values, with my soul, with my clients, with my vision for the practice and my vision beyond the vision for the practice. So that's how I did it. And what I learned from that whole experience was that, you know, everybody's pathway or everybody's journey to making decisions is very, very different. What I know now when it comes to me making big decisions for myself is it helps me a lot to not overthink it, but just to take action, to just say to myself, right, this is happening, we're doing it, and just start operating from that place of, you know, beginning with the end in mind, like this is already done. How did I do it? What did I do? I've already transitioned my clients. And it's not just this that we see this type of process with. So maybe you're not where I was. Maybe this example doesn't resonate with you, but the process will. So maybe for you, you might be faced with a different decision. Maybe your decision is about, do I need to do more study or not? You know, we saw that in one of the groups today, people talking about study, but not for the sake of, I really want to do it because I'm passionate about it, but doing it from the place of, well, I feel like I should do it, so I'm taken more seriously by colleagues. I would just say take action one way or another, either do it or don't. But if you're thinking about, you know, why you're doing it, make sure that you're taking action from a place that aligns with what's true for you. And it's probably not true for you. Like if you're always going to be comparing yourself to others, here's the thing, you're never going to be at the top of the pile because there's always going to be people who are further along the journey than you. So why bother? You are the expert in you. You are the expert in your life. Your practice is unique. It's as unique as your fingerprint. You have nothing to prove to anybody. Counseling is about, first and foremost, your ability to hold space and have that deeper relationship with the client. Yeah. It's not about what other people think of you, because guess what? You're going to be fighting a losing battle if you think that. It's what you think of you that matters. And if you're confident and you know that you can support people to affect their own change, what's the problem? Like, stop, walk away from the course guide. You don't need to do more courses to increase your worth. It doesn't work like that. If you don't see yourself as worthy, other people won't see you as worthy. Your peers won't, your clients won't, and that's going to be reflected in your practice. So it's not about doing more courses. It's about you finding that worth within yourself. If you're in a position where you're thinking, you know, somebody else was saying they needed a supervisor, but they want a cheap one. Okay, I guess I don't want to work with somebody because I was the cheapest. I want to work with people because our values align and because we're on the same page and because we can relate to each other and because I can help and because they're motivated and because they want guidance and because they're invested in it. You know what I mean? So again, think about what you're putting out into the world, because like is going to attract like. If you have another decision, maybe it's about supervision or mentoring or coaching, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I don't know whether to, because can I trust that I can afford it? Or can I trust that I'm going to get a result? Can I, what if I fail? What if I succeed? What if? And you stay, if you don't have somebody that stands by you, if you don't have somebody that is going to see through this for you, you're not going to change. And guess what? 6 months will go past, 12 months will go past, 18 months will go past, and you'll still be where you are. But your peers will have moved forward. They'll be further along than you. And then how are you going to feel, right? You won't feel confident within yourself. So this is about you learning how to trust in your ability to make decisions for yourself, for your business, knowing this isn't about your worth. You're born worthy. So worth doesn't even come into it. If there's other things going on there that are preventing you from moving forward, let's say you have a conversation with a supervisor or a mentor or something like that, you really want to work with them, and the issue of the money comes up, and you think to yourself, oh yikes, you know, I can't do this for whatever reason. What's going to happen is you're going to block yourself from progressing. You're going to block yourself from moving forward. And in a little while, if that person doesn't stand for you, if they accept it and if they say to you, okay, then that's fine, see you later, come back in 12 months when you're ready, you're going to leave that conversation feeling unsupported, unseen, unheard. I believe the reason that you connected with that supervisor or mentor in the first place was because you felt they could help. And it's not helpful for them to leave you high and dry when you say to them what your issue is. So for that reason, the way I work with people is if somebody has a, I'm just giving you an example, but if somebody wants to work with me and then an issue comes up, I'm not going to let that go because I feel like it's, they've come to me for help and I feel like I want to honor that, you know? And I want to not just say, I'm here for you, which of course I always am, but I want to be able to demonstrate that in a way that feels loving, in a way that holds space, in a way that feels supportive so that people can feel supported. So if you ever say to me, hey, I'd love to do mentoring or supervision or coaching, but, you know, and this comes up at the end of our conversation, I'm going to help you work through that because I want you to have that breakthrough. I want you to have that moment so that you can get unstuck. I believe that's what you've come to me for. Okay, there's no point me saying, oh, okay, see you later. that's not good coaching, is it? Or good mentoring. That's not even good supervision to let you just go like that. And that's not aligned with how I want to work. I want to give you that experience of being supported. So my advice is, instead of getting in your head about things, instead of saying, like with me, with going online, you know, with my practice, I was definitely in that space where I was in my head about it. I was saying stuff to myself like, what if no one transitions over? Like what I'm seeing in the Facebook groups. Oh no, what if everybody wants to pause their sessions? What's that going to do to my ability to pay my mortgage? Oh no, you know, what if everybody says that they don't like Zoom? What then? You know, what if? And so I just made it bigger than Ben-Hur and I stopped. But the thing that got me over the line was just getting out of my own way and taking action. And honestly, that's probably my best advice for you. If you're getting in your own way, if you're stuck in procrastination, if you're stuck in indecision, take action. Because what's going to happen is you will have clarity one way or another about what's right for you. So bite the bullet and do it. And so here's what I want you to do next, moving forward. I want you to have a think now about something that's happening in your private practice, something that you've been feeling indecision over, something that you've been feeling a little bit stuck with. You have an awareness that something needs to change. You know what's available, you know there's help there, but there's something that's blocking you, there's something that's getting in the way. It's probably ego mindset, which is understandable. but ask yourself, what's going to happen if I just take action? What if I just bite the bullet and do it? Ask yourself the question, and you know what to do after that. Implement it. You know, it's not hard. You can absolutely do this, and this is going to be expansive for your practice, which is what we want. It's a beautiful feminine energy. She's all about expansion, growth, being open, you know. The opposite of that is being in a wounded energy where you're hiding, you play small, you stay safe, you're in the shadow, you're shrinking, you're constricting. That's no way to run a private practice. And what are you modeling for your clients? And if that's the energy you're putting out there into the world, what are you going to experience that's returning to you? And what's it going to take for you to move into that more expansive energy? Yeah. So anyway, just a few things to think about. And as you know, I say it every single episode, connect with me if you want help with this, okay? Because, of course, it's my highest intention to help you help yourself so that you can be successful in private practice, okay? You can do this. All right, my lovelies, I will let you go. I hope that you have a really happy weekend, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding your processes and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.